Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Epiphany 7. Next week, as you know, will be Transfiguration Feast. We'll be collecting our palm fronds from last year, and then before we know it, we'll be entering into the season of Lent with ashes, the imposition of ashes in remembrance of our baptismal journey of death and resurrection with Jesus, daily dying and daily rising with our Lord. As far as announcements for this week go, first of all, I want to remind you that following worship tonight, we're going to be having retreats, and the refreshments will be in the fellowship hall, so please stay as you are able and have a chance to have some goodies. Thank you, Lee and Judy, for preparing those for us. A chance once a month for us to have some fellowship time together. Also, this coming week, I'm going to be spending some days of continuing ed, and I'm going to be working on our historical narrative, putting together the history of our 10 years, because as you know, this coming Friday the 25th, will be our 10th birthday, our 10-year anniversary. So please keep this week in mind as you celebrate your church home birthday. Emmanuel turns 10. And then also this coming week, women's Bible study and men's Bible study. The men will be meeting on Wednesday at 11 a.m. here, and the women we'll be meeting at the home of Judy Pierce, and that'll be at 1 p.m. Next week, we'll also have the installation of our 2022 council, so please keep our council members in your prayers as well. And then finally, just wanted to let you know that arrangements have been taken care of for Barbara Stephenson's funeral. My sister's funeral will be at the Timothy Chapel this coming Friday, the birthday of our church, kind of appropriate, seeing she was our council president for a couple of years, and ended her service to God on that note as well. That'll be at Timothy Chapel, Friday the 25th at 11 a.m., refreshments an hour beforehand, and then also, visitation an hour beforehand, and refreshments then following the service. And then also Barb asked that in lieu of flowers, she requested that any memorials that are given be given to the Emmanuel Building Fund or to the American Cancer Society Mayo Clinic. There we go. I think those are the announcements, and I want to thank all of you for your prayers and your loving kindness that has been extended to us too in the recent loss of my sister Barb. We rise as we are able for our gathering song, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Jesus, in him there is
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Our scripture song, Word of God, come down. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus, to show us how to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. Fill us with your love and give us the strength we need to meet all people with loving kindness, especially those who seek to harm us because we follow Jesus. Let your holy light shine through us, that we may show the world your never-ending joy and mercy. We pray this through the precious name of your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Arise, you on my task come, the Spirit's glory shall forth the glory of your God, which shines on you today.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High God, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. For with the measure you give, so it will be measured back to you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who harm you, who hurt you, who do evil to you. We listen to Jesus' sermon on this level plane. Part two, if you want to call it that, it's a continuation from last week. And in this sermon, it kind of shakes us up a bit if we are listening. But I say to you who listen, who hear, the word will be an affront, it will be an attack. But it is the word of God. And Jesus isn't worried about it being palatable or even making sense to us human beings here on earth. It's not business as usual. It's not the natural order of things. This past week at our men's Bible study, we were talking about the natural order of things. I mean, we know how it usually works, how we expect things to work. As someone, well, maybe they steal something from us, and so then we steal something from them. But we make sure that it's just a little bit more, just to even the scales, and then some. Or if someone hurts us, well, then we want to hurt them back. But there again, trying to measure with exactness is probably not going to be possible. I mean, you've got inflation and all kinds of things to factor in. So what do? Well, let's just measure a little bit more. Back to the person who harmed, injured us, who hates us, whatever they may be, we know this, they're the enemy. And in the natural order of things, we want to make sure that the enemy gets his or her due. This past week, I was remembering a story from a number of years ago, early in my ministry. It was 1991. Desiree Washington. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you, but in those days, that's when Mike Tyson, heavyweight champion, boxer, you know? And Desiree, I remember reading the story about how she was 18 years old, and in Rhode Island, she won the Miss Black Rhode Island beauty pageant. She was a model. She had a very outgoing personality, was looking forward to college. And then she went to compete in Indianapolis for the Miss Black America beauty pageant. And it was there that she met a special guest for this pageant, Mike Tyson. And she was invited to his hotel along with some others. She was invited up to his room. Long and the short of it, she ended up being raped. That was her accusation. And she actually had gone to the hospital afterwards, and the evidence substantiated what she had claimed. And the chauffeur of Mike Tyson, he verified or collaborated as well. Mike Tyson said in 1991, "I never raped that woman. I don't have to do that. It was always consensual." Desiree, in 1992, when she was being interviewed by Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters had asked her, she said, "So now Mike Tyson is doing 6 years in jail. He ended up serving less than 3 years." And Barbara said, "So how do you deal with all of this?" And she said, "I don't have my life anymore." She said, "You know, they offered me $1 million to take away the charges." She said, "You know, all I wanted was one thing. I just wanted him to own up to it. I just wanted him to confess it, to admit that he had in fact raped me, and then to get some help. That's all I wanted." Well, in the summer of 2021, this last summer, there was a documentary that Mike Tyson has put together 30 years later. I mean, I was wondering, whatever happened to this young woman? 18, 19 years old, right, when this incident happened. Mike Tyson still to this day says that he never raped this woman. and is never admitted to any wrongdoing at all. Love your enemies, forgive those who have harmed or hurt you. These are not easy things to do, my friend. I mean, what Jesus is proclaiming in our gospel for tonight, this sermon on a level plane where he levels with us, and in the process, his words level us. They collapse us. They bring us down to nothing so that God can raise us up to something, something that will be eternal, where the perishable puts on the imperishable, where the mortal puts on the immortal, where this temporal realm receives the gift of eternity. We know that there is something waiting for us, someone waiting for us. And he's the one who preaches this sermon, who levels with us. He speaks the plain truth. But my guess is that we probably would have a hard time swallowing it. I mean, what I tried to suggest to the man this past week is put yourself right there on that level plane with the rest of the disciples and the people who are listening to Jesus' words. And they would have heard, blessed, 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 blessed. North, south, east, west, there are people who are blessed. And then, whoa, 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 whoa. North, south, east, or west, there is a word of warning, of rebuke. They would have heard the blessings. And they would have realized that Jesus in his preaching was turning the world upside down and right side up. They knew when Jesus said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. They would have known he's talking about us. That's good news. Blessed are you who are hungry. Yeah, I don't even know where my next meal is coming from. They were living one day at a time, living under tyranny and oppression and abuse. He's speaking to us. We're the blessed ones. No matter what the world may tell us, Jesus is telling us that in the eyes of God, we're blessed. Blessed are you. You're weeping now, but there's laughter awaiting. I mean, there's sadness and there's weeping, losing my sister, right? But Barb is laughing. She's not laughing at us. She's laughing in anticipation of our own laughter that Jesus has promised to those who weep now. Those who hunger now, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to laugh. Rejoice, be glad. Your reward is great. The promises that Jesus speaks. You see this audience, this congregation, the people that are right there on that level plane, hearing the words, they're going, that's us. We get the good news. And then he says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're happy now, you're laughing now, you're full now, you're rich now. That's not what things are going to be like down the road for you. There is a judgment, you know. You see, the people gathered that day, they would have said, we know who he's talking about. We are the blessed ones. And the enemy out there, the Romans, and those who conspire with them, they're the enemy, but they're going to get theirs. You see how things naturally work, right? I don't get mad. I just bide my time and bite my tongue, and I wait. Because what goes around comes around, huh? And we know, right? We just kind of let those wounds fester because we know there's going to be retaliation and we know there's going to be a day of reckoning. Revenge. Oh, it may not be so sweet, my friends. But most sinners are more than willing to endure the sour taste, at least for a while. You see where the congregation is at? These oppressed people that are hungry. Okay, Jesus, we've been waiting for a revolutionary. We've been waiting for somebody who's going to kick the butt of those Romans. that's going to restore the kingdom of David, the golden years, the glorious days? Let's do it. Say the word. Just say the word. We're ready for the uprising. And what happened? Did you catch it? Did you hear how our reading began? What? But I always tell people, when you're reading your Bible, please pay attention to those three letters. But, and now the people are wondering, but what? You mean it's not about revenge and retaliation? It's not about what goes around, comes around, that they're going to get theirs? What's this but? But I say to you who hear. Jesus isn't talking about, you know, words going in one ear and out the other. He's talking about putting the resurrection into practice. He's talking about living the Easter good news right here, right now, today. Today, Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see what he's saying to the people? But I say to you, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to hear, this sermon on the level plain is going to end with the two builders, the one who builds on the solid rock, who puts the words of Jesus into practice, and the one who builds on the sandy soil. The storms are going to come to both. But the house that's built on the rock will stand. And the one in the sand will collapse and fall apart. But I say to you, if you're listening, if you're willing to pay attention, if you're willing to put it into practice, I say to you, love your enemies. Love the ones who have hurt you the most. Pray for them. It's not enough just for me to bury the hatchet. It's not enough for me to say, well, I've forgiven them even if they've never confessed their wrong. No, Jesus would say, what about their salvation? Well, they're not exactly my friend. Who cares if they're not in heaven for all eternity? Actually, I just maybe prefer that they weren't there, huh? We in our finer moments? Well, God cares. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want any of his children to perish. So it's not enough just for us to love our enemies or to forgive those who have harmed us or hurt us. What does it look like? Well, turn the other cheek. If someone takes something that is yours and you say, well, just a second, you took my coat. That's not going to do you a lot of good, but I have a lot of other clothes in my house. I've got some sport coats and I've got some slacks and I've got some shirts and I've got some ties. Why don't you come over there so that you have a decent wardrobe to wear? Don't just take my jacket. I mean, this isn't about being somebody's doormat or punching bag. This is about Jesus in the flesh. It's about putting into practice his really hard and difficult words. What will the kingdom of God look like when the resurrection is actually practiced in daily life? But I say to you, someone wants to borrow something, don't expect that they'll return it. I mean, I know it's not how things work in this world. And I know that his words are offensive and they really do have a bite to them. But this is what Jesus says. You know, he's not trying to make it palatable. He's not trying to make it easy to swallow. He's simply saying, you got to know that when I've run my course, when I've finished the course of death on a Good Friday and resurrection on the third day, that things are not going to be business as usual. That in heaven, it's not going to be just a continuation of this stuff here on earth, my friend. But that the world will be turned upside down and right side up according to the righteousness of Almighty God. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. You see the standard? The standard on the surface would be impossible for us, apart from the resurrected Jesus. Apart from the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, how in the world could we be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful to us? It's not just the golden rule, it's beyond that. But we strive for it. We hunger for it. We thirst for it. Because when we get a little taste of it, we want more. And if you look at our first reading for tonight, the story of Joseph, it's a perfect illustration, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how it is in your family, if you've got lots of siblings. Joseph had a dad and a mom, and he had a stepmom and a couple of concubine stepmoms. I mean, there was a total, you know, of 12 boys in the family, and then the sister. And that Joseph and his little brother, Benjamin, came from Rachel, that was Jacob's favorite wife. And you know that Joseph was dad's favorite, and he would report on his brothers. I mean, he had that coat of many colors, remember? I mean, he was just kind of a scoundrel. He was full of hubris, insolent, pride. And one day, the brothers had had enough. And they said, this is enough with this guy. Let's put him into a pit that he can't get out of. Let's kill him. Their own brother. What happens? Well, at the last minute, there is this caravan of Ishmaelites. Let's sell him so that we don't have blood on our hands. They take his robe, they dip it in blood, and they say, Dad, and you can just picture this, I think, with all kinds of sarcasm. Dad, we don't know how to break this news to you. We don't know if we're ever going to be able to move on from this. Our brother's gone. Well, those scoundrels, they didn't care about their brother being gone. It was all about revenge and retaliation and getting even with the one who had been a thorn in their side for way too long. And then God lifts him out of this pit, and in Egypt, he becomes not only a member of, well, the working party in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar's right-hand man. And then he gets accused of sexual molestation, and he ends up in jail. And then God lifts him up so that he's the jailer's right-hand man. I mean, he's been dreaming all this time, remember? He's been taunting his brothers and saying, you know, I dreamt that I'm a sheaf. I'm a stalk of wheat here, and your stalks are all bowing down to me. And that I had another dream, and it was about how 11 stars were bowing down to my star, and the sun and the moon were bowing down. You see, now, all of a sudden, in the jail, he has a chance to be an interpreter of dreams. There's the butler, there's the baker. Give it to us straight, Joseph. He says to the butler, well, you've got a good dream there. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to restore you to your position. You're going to be set free from prison. And the baker says, tell me mine. What's my news? Not so good for you. In 3 days, you're going to be executed. And Joseph remains in the jail. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he has some dreams, and no one can interpret those dreams, remember? And suddenly the butler remembers Joseph in the jail, And Joseph comes and he says, well, the seven fat cattle means there's going to be 7 years of abundance. And then the seven scrawny cattle, that means that there's going to be 7 years of famine. And those seven scrawny cattle, they ate up the seven fat ones. That means that it's going to be bad news for everybody. Unless Pharaoh put someone in charge of gathering all the provisions and distributing them in a careful manner. Yeah, but who would be wise enough to do this, Pharaoh thinks? Only the one that God has lifted up, raised from the pit. Only the one who had the ability to interpret dreams that no one else could. Well, Joseph, maybe when he becomes right-hand man of Pharaoh, is perhaps 30 years old. And all this time that has passed, his brothers are back in the land of Canaan. And then the famine becomes so bad after 2 years that Jacob has to send his sons, not Benjamin, but the other sons, to get provisions down in Egypt. And you know how that story unfolds, right? That Joseph eventually will put his divining cup into the sack of Benjamin when they come down the second time. I mean, he's setting his brothers up because he thinks that revenge is going to be sweet. And then in our first reading for tonight, we get the episode where Joseph reveals himself, where he realizes that getting back at someone, payback, revenge, retaliation, it's not going to work. It won't satisfy in this life, and it certainly cannot be permitted in eternal life. He reveals himself to his brothers. But notice what Joseph says. You meant it for evil. But God was able to transform it into good. Do good to those who harm you without expecting anything in return. God is watching over his people, and God is watching over history, taking care of us, making sure that his chosen ones are not lost, but that we are kept. Rejoice, be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's a revolution, but it's not about swords. It's not about military might. It's not about restoring the glory days of King David from about 1000 BC. No, there's something more at stake here. Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he's speaking it into existence. And we, by his grace alone, are not condemned. We are found not guilty for Jesus' sake. God does good to us. God covers us with the blood of his son, Jesus. And it is truly well with our souls. So the story of Joseph, the stories that we could all pick up and talk about regarding those times in our lives when we've been injured or harmed, and we thought that perhaps over time, maybe then they would get a share of their own medicine. But that's not God's distribution system. God gives generously. And the measure that he distributes with is woven together and overflowing, so that we too have plenty to share with others as well. You know the story of Abraham Lincoln? He became president in 1861, 16th president, and Edwin Stanton was a thorn in his side. During the election time, he tormented Lincoln brutally. You don't want this lanky, ignorant person as the president of your country? Well, Lincoln was elected. And then, because of the Civil War, etc., Someone had to be appointed Secretary of War. And the person most qualified for that was Edwin Stanton. And so that's what Lincoln did. He appointed him. And his closest friends thought, "You are nuts. This is just plain stupidity. You can't do this. You shouldn't do this." But he did. And ironically, you know the story of history. Stanton not only served well, but he and his family became the biggest defenders of everything that Abraham Lincoln said and did. Not an enemy, but through the loving kindness of Abraham Lincoln, they became close and best of friends. So that when Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, April, it was Stanton for like 10 to 15 days after Lincoln died that every day he would go and visit Lincoln's son. And his son had written, the first thing that he did for 5 minutes is that we just wept together. You see, I can't guarantee you that when you put into practice what Jesus proclaims and demands and expects, that it's going to come around and that you're going to get it. But there are little signs, little foretastes that help us to see that it is possible. Wade Boggs was third baseman for the Red Sox. He hated playing in Yankee Stadium, you know why? He didn't have anything against the Yankees. He actually played for them a little bit. But during his career in baseball, whenever he went to Yankee Stadium, there was one fan that sat in a reserved box seat over right by third base. And Wade Boggs was the third baseman. And this man was tormenting him all the time and saying all kinds of things against Wade Boggs. And he had just had enough of it. So he went walking over right before the game was about to begin, and he pointed up and he said, "Are you the guy that's got the loose tongue, that's always condemning me, that's always speaking ill and evil of me?" And the fan said, "Yes, I am. And what do you intend to do about it?" And Wade Boggs took out of his pocket a brand new baseball, wrote his name on it, and said, "Then this is for you." And from that time on, that fan became the biggest supporter of Wade Boggs. Oh, I can't promise you that when you lay yourself out there like Jesus is demanding in our gospel for tonight, that you're going to reap that in this life. But I can promise you what Jesus promises you. You will be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And your reward in heaven, which is spending eternity with Jesus, will be great. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able. Our song of the day, "Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive."
Our sins as we forgive, you taught us, Lord, to pray, but you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart? peace.
In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And so tonight and in the days ahead, please share that reconciling love of God, the peace of Jesus, with friends and with enemies. You may be seated. We won't be passing offering plates, but the offering basket is back there if that is your way of supporting the ministry of Christ. Otherwise, there are other ways of supporting the work of God, his kingdom here on earth as well. So thank you for your generosity for the holy work of Jesus. We continue then now with our prayers.
Let us draw near to the light of Christ, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Loving Father, forgiveness is the hardest thing we ever do, but refusing to forgive is worse. Thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us in Jesus. Let it sink in and work deep within us. Although it is so hard, teach us how to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Restore us to yourself and to those who are separated from us by their sins or by our own. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your church unflinching in exposing sin, humble in confessing it, and generous in forgiving all who repent of it. Do not let it rebrand sin as virtue, nor reject those who stumble. Make it wise in exhortation and counsel. Make it gracious in restoring and healing all who repent and turn to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the people of this congregation with your holy and forgiving love. Make us eager to seek out those estranged from us and patient in the work of reconciliation. Let all we say and do shine with love for Jesus and with Jesus' love for everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Restore the faith and health of all who are burdened by suffering of body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for those who are battling COVID, those who are battling cancer, those who are recovering from surgery. We pray for those, O Lord, who know the pain of suffering. We pray for Daryl Bolton, for Amy Cooper, Sheldon Bieri, Melody Graves. We pray for Bob Merhoff. And Lord, we also ask this night that you would continue to watch over and care for those who grieve the passing of Barbara, that they might know the good news of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting.
Give them the joy of your saving help and restore them to fellowship with all who love them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we commend our beloved dead into your care, trusting your promise of mercy. Keep us, we pray, in your care as well. Help us bring your mercy to those who are lost, broken, estranged, or despairing. Sustain us with your grace, won for us in death and resurrection of your Son, and given to us by your Holy Spirit. Reconcile us to yourself and to each other, and welcome us into your kingdom and reunite us with all your people. There let us praise your goodness forever and ever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise for the CMAC mission team. We thank you for their fruitful labor this past week, and we ask that you would be with them now in their second week, that they might restore hope by serving in your name and for your glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and King.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We rise as we are able to receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our dismissal song, Freely, Freely. Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.